I'm at the dining room table of Ann Kuzik in the County of Athabasca. It's December the 10th, 2015. I'm Margaret Armfelt. Now we're going to start the interview. Only it's not really an interview. Ann's going to tell me how she came to be living in Canada, in Athabasca.
Yes. My name is Ann Kuzik. I was born August 13th, 1933 in Ballerup, Denmark. My dad's name was Axel Wibke Jørgensen, and my mother's name was Helene Valborg Knudsen. That's her maiden name, and Jørgensen, her married name. I married Fred Kuzik, who lived in Forfar all his life. My dad had gone, when he was a young man, he had gone to Argentina for a couple of years. And Mom always said that he got wanderlust. He wanted to go someplace. And for years, nothing happened because we just lived and had a small farm in Denmark and did the daily thing, chickens and cows and horses and ducks and whatever else you have. Dad did the farming with horses. And you know, I don't remember. I remember what I did myself, but I don't remember what my sister did. She was 4 years younger than I am. And I don't remember that she came with me, because I know I used to just like to walk around and look at the fields and go in the bush and, you know, just enjoy the... Well, we went to school, and that was every day. I went to school all my life on Saturday. And that meant that I finished school earlier. We left Denmark March 4th, 1949. Mom was kind of upset with Dad for not waiting until after I had graduated, which would have happened in April of 1949. See, that's why I had done the 9 years like the kids do here, 12 years. Mm-hmm.
Oh, and because of the Saturdays.
Yeah, because mm-hmm. the extra time. And our summer holidays were shorter. They were just 6 weeks, not 2 months. And we went, every different class was 55 minutes long, 5 minutes recess, 20 minutes for lunch. So we had more school time. Yeah, I remember the school. I guess I really should include Inger in this because she must have been there. I rode to school on a bike in the summertime. And then in the wintertime we had skis. And if it poured rain, we could take a bus that went every day past our place. But that was not for kids. You know, it was just a commuter bus, I guess. I don't know.
For adults as well.
Well, it was for whoever wanted to go on the bus, eh? But only on rainy days. And it was fine, you know. We were used to going every place on a bike.
What caused your dad to decide to come to Canada?
Well, he applied to South America also and to Canada. But I think that he maybe got permission to go sooner from Canada than he did from Argentina or from, you know, from South America.
And did he bring his possessions from Denmark?
Yeah, we did. Because in 1949, it was just 4 years after the war, the Danish government would not allow money to leave the country. $50 each. So my dad had $250 in his pocket cash. That was all.
That's because there were five of you.
Yeah, $50 each, eh? And yeah, but he bought a lot of things that he thought we would need over here, and that kind of he felt it would make up for the not having the money,
okay.
You know. And it must have been really disappointing for him. I know it must have been, because I think it wasn't in 1949, it must have been in 50, 51. Because we kept on waiting for this stuff to come.
By ship?
Yeah, it had to come to a ship. But Dad had prepaid it to Athabasca. And Mom and Dad got a letter from the company, or from a lawyer most likely, that they had closed business and they went bankrupt. So, Mom went home. I think she went home in 51 or 52. Fred and I got married in June of 52.
But you said your mom went home. She went back to Denmark?
Yes, she went back to Denmark, and she had to do something with this stuff because it was in storage, and we were paying every month for this, all this stuff standing in storage.
It didn't get shipped at all.
No, not at that time. Mom went home, and she repacked some things, and she did send some stuff over. But she had to go through everything, and there was lots, you know, like fairly big shipping crates made out of wood. But no, I think it was square, probably a cube or something. And she had to repack it. But who's going to buy horses' harnesses? I mean, yeah, that's what I think. Dad had four sets of harnesses and axes and ropes and you name it. Whatever he felt he had on a farm there, he figured he could use here, eh? Yeah, it must have been terribly disappointing for him. Anyhow.
And how did you arrive?
We came on a Swedish liner, Gripsholm. It's spelled Gripsholm. Gripsholm.
It's a big liner.
A huge liner, yeah. Yeah, ocean liner.
How long did it take to come across?
It took 11 days to come, which was, I think, quite fast because it was a modern liner in those days, eh? And it was quick. You know what? Knut and I were the only ones that wasn't sick from the seasickness. My dad even, and we never thought that Dad would get seasick because he's just really a tough guy. He was very much like my brother. Yeah.
And so your brother is Knut?
Yeah. He wasn't even 4 years old when we came. He turned four in May, and we came in March. March 15th, 11, we arrived in Canada. And I'm getting...
Did you take the train?
Yeah.
Where we landed?
From Halifax, yeah. Yeah. It was the 4th of March. We left Denmark, 15th. We got to Halifax. And then it took, I don't know how many days to come across Canada on a train. It took a long time. I know it took a whole day to come from Edmonton to Athabasca. Hmm. And it was so slow. And my poor sister got seasick again because you know how the train goes back and forth and you kind of, it's a rocking motion. But we arrived in Athabasca, and I had an uncle in Dawson Creek, and he was supposed to meet us here in Athabasca. And Dad wanted to come to Athabasca because our lawyer in Denmark had another client that had land here by Athabasca. But Dad said, I'm not buying it until I see it. So that's what happened, that we came to Athabasca. And I didn't know until later that he had all the crates prepaid to Athabasca. But I didn't think much of anything because I'm just a kid of 15. I turned 16 in August. Yeah. Yeah, so we stayed in a hotel in Athabasca for a few nights. My uncle came down and he took us out to eat every time. It must have been in the hotel that we ate. I can't remember. And he found a guy in town that would take us out. See, Jim Elker he had some land down here. And my dad had written to him. And he had written back to my dad. So when we got to town, this is the name that Dad used. He went and talked, and he got a hold of Nick Philipchuk. And Nick said, I'll drive you out there. So we didn't take anything. You know, we left the suitcases in the hotel. And we just got out there, and Jim and Katie Elker, they had a little house that they had lived in when they were first married. Oh, my goodness. I don't know how big it was. It was probably, I don't think it was as wide as, see that, I think 17 feet. Well, let's say it's 70 by 20 feet. It wasn't very big, but you know what? The roof didn't leak. So we didn't have a choice. we stayed there. And Jim and Katie were so helpful. And then there were August and Nina Christensen and Mark and Anna Christensen. They were Danish people that had been here for years and years. And it was very good for my mom and dad. And there again, I don't think I even thought about how serious our situation was. We come here with nothing. At the time we came here, we hadn't experienced any of these things that we weren't going to get. I mean, we were hoping we were going to get all this stuff and it would be okay, but we had to find a place to live too, aside from this little house, say. Anyhow.
Oh, you mean different from the house?
Yeah, because it was not for the winter, really, you know. That's what Jim said. And this was in March, so there was quite a few months that you could. So, yeah. Dad made some boxes on the floor, and Jim brought hay. And we did have some. There was one box that we brought with us with bedding. And that was good that it came with us, you know. Because there was feather ticks and blankets, and I don't know if there was any pillows, I can't remember, but there was enough to cover us at night, which was really good. And it was still cool outside. So, oh yeah, and my uncle took us grocery shopping because we had to find out what we could buy. And that was a real experience too, because everything was just so different, you know? Which was understandable.
But that was good of him to help you.
Oh, yeah. Well, he was a bachelor. And he, I think, was quite happy to get some family, you know. We actually brought a set of candlesticks, sterling silver candlesticks for him from the family. And he was supposed to get them. You know, his parents were not. They were still alive when he left for Canada in 1929. He came to Canada. And at that time, his parents were, the home was intact and everything was there. But those candlesticks, they were passed on. We must have had those candlesticks. Oh, I know why. Because Dad was on an old farm where he was brought up. I was born in that place. I think Inga was born in a little bungalow my dad and mom built close by the farm. They were in my dad's possession because he was the only one living on that old farm at that time, eh? So, and then mom took care of them. Mom made sure that we brought them here because they were Inas. And when we came here, Uncle Ina said that we should keep them in our family because he didn't have any kids. He didn't want those. And they were really, really beautiful candlesticks. I passed them on to Allison because this is what Uncle Ina wanted. Mm-hmm. And
Allison is your daughter, right?
Yeah, that's our oldest daughter. Yeah, we didn't. I never put them out here. I don't know why. They were just sitting in a box, and I forgot about them, I think, because I was so busy. Anyhow, she has them now. But I have things from Denmark that the other kids have gotten already, too. I have a coffee pot over there that was in my dad's family. My dad's, like my grandmother's china, and I have that one. And I don't know how my master Lulu got a hold of it. Yeah, there were so many things I should have asked.
But well, how about going to school here?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what? Dad said there was this little four-far school right down here. Mm-hmm. And Dad said, you know, you girls have to go down there because you've got to learn how to speak proper Canadian. Because I had an English teacher that was very much English. And you know, the accent is so different, eh? Mm-hmm. In fact, I didn't really understand the kids here when we came here because it was just so different. Yeah, Dad said we got to go there and we have to learn Canadian history and geography. So what do? We walk down there every day from We went already in March, soon after we came here. So there was March, April, May, and June, 4 months. And they didn't know what to do with me. I was finished high school in Denmark, and this was in grade 8 down here, as far as the kids went, eh? So as we sat and listened, I think it was probably better for Inga because she was younger, mm-hmm. and it was good for both of us. You listen to the kids and how they talk, and you know, the accent is Like I said, I couldn't really understand what they were saying to start with, but it didn't take long. You know, we got used to it. So, okay, the end of the school year came, the end of June. Of course, then we had a couple of months, 2 months holidays. That was really a long time. And
so did that become a working holiday to help with your mom and dad on the farm?
We needed a place to live for the winter. So Capitanius had a place down on 812, where we are now, here's 812. And there was a little old house on there. And they offered it for us for the winter. We could move in there. And Mom and Dad, we got busy. Nobody had lived there for quite a while, eh? We got busy cleaning it out, and Mom was always very good at painting and fixing stuff up. She was very handy. So that little house, there was an upstairs in that house. There was a bedroom upstairs, which was good. Or was there two? Well, I don't know. I think there was only one, because Inga and I slept downstairs. We slept downstairs. Anyhow, there was a good-sized room downstairs, and there was a kitchen, and there was a wood stove. No light, you know, and there was no electricity there. I don't know if the people even had electricity.
I don't think so. Kerosene lamps or candles?
Yeah. No, kerosene lamps, yeah. It was always my job to clean them, because Mom said I never broke what do you call those?
Or the tops of the hurricane part.
So I could have the job. That was okay. I didn't mind. I don't remember. Anyhow, the summer holidays went, and then it was school time again. Mark Christensen had a school bus. It was a panel where he had made 2x8 benches on the side. It was something like it wasn't a big panel. But that was okay. We sat on those 2x8s. They must have been 2x8s. Yeah. And we didn't have to walk to school, at least.
And the benches were along the side.
Along the side, mm-hmm. yeah. And the school year started for the grade 8s in town. The old big school. And, the little kids kept on going down here. That's why, you know, I don't remember Inga, because she stayed down here, going to that school. Yeah.
So you went to grade 8 in Athabasca?
I went to grade 9. And I got there, and I don't think they even knew that we had just come from Denmark, because nobody asked me anything. What's your name? I knew my name. I actually thought it was kind of funny, because I was just one of the bunch. Not that I needed any special attention, but I don't know what I expected. I don't think I expected anything, really.
So no one picked on you then?
No, nobody picked on me.
You just fit right in.
Apparently, I must have. So I went to grade 8 there, to grade 9. And that's where I met Jane Washichuk. Washichuk, yeah. And so I've known her ever since, eh? So we finished grade 9, and then the same thing again. You have 2 months holiday, and then you come to grade 10. And in grade 10, well, it was even in grade 9 that I noticed, because they had some of the classes with different age children. I think maybe they had like grade, it seemed to me that there were grade 11s.
But there was a mixed group, though.
Yeah, there was a mixed group. Class. And I know Nora Christensen, she was in the highest grade. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting listening to all this, and I think, oh my gosh, you know. They're taking the algebra and geometry, and what was the other? There was something else that I took last year in Denmark. Okay, I heard it all again, and it was fine. I just sat, most of the time, I just sat listening. Well, there was sometimes, we had a spelling test in English. But the English part was good because I did learn, the pronunciation of words, say.
And had you learned spelling in Denmark?
Yes, I took English for 5 years, but from a very English lady.
Right, but your spelling is spelling. So
spelling is spelling, and you know what? I was actually quite proud of myself because I had 100%, and the other kids that lived here, they didn't have 100%. I'm blowing my own horn, eh?
Yes.
But that's, I think at that time was the only thing I could brag about.
Mm.
But yeah, it was interesting. And of course, we also in English took the Shakespeare. You know, everybody did that. We have to have one or two choices, I think there was. And that was okay too, because I actually had, we had done that too in Denmark. But then it wasn't Danish, and here it wasn't English. And then I had to learn to read it, study it in an English book, because of course we had to study it and remember it, and then we have to recite it. Oh my gosh, some of that stuff was kind of useless, wasn't it?
Trained your mind.
It trained my mind, it did. Yeah, so the 2 years went by, and I had, there must have been more than, I don't know what the heck. Okay, so I turned 16 in August that first year. See, I was older than the other kids.
Mm-hmm. Oh, in the class?
In the class, yeah. Because when I came, because like grade 8, they should be 14. And I was 15 already, turning 16 in August. So I was a year and a half or so older than.
So they should have put you ahead.
Yeah.
Where you hadn't already learned.
But there was no. No teacher, anything, anybody that even asked.
It was how old you were, and that's where
yeah.
You went.
No, I don't know if they even asked me that. I think I probably must have answered questions that they said, otherwise they probably would have failed me. I don't know. Yeah, so.
And what did you do for entertainment when you were first here, like a school age person?
Oh, we played ball. Baseball.
Baseball?
Yeah. I learned how to do that. And I learned how to do that because I was either the pitcher or the first base. And that was nice. I enjoyed it. I always liked sports, and we had lots of sports in Denmark. Lots of sports.
And would it be men and women or girls and boys?
Well, girls and boys, yeah. Because sometimes you don't have enough for a team if you don't mix them up. Eh? Yeah, I enjoy that. I don't really think there was anything else during school time.
For organized sports.
No. And I don't know how organized it was because we never went any place to play ball. Mm-hmm. That didn't come until, then I met Fred, you see, when I was in grade 10. And
did he play baseball?
Yeah, he did, yeah. After we started going out together, after he started coming to pick me up and take me here and there. He played baseball. We went to Grossmont and Le Havre, and they played with the Amber Valley teams. And there was Bill Kislik, and there was a whole bunch of guys out here. Eh? And that was fun, you know. We'd go, the girlfriends of the other guys, we'd all go, and I got to know them. Yeah, you know, it's really funny. I always wanted to train as a nurse when I was growing up. I really, this was my purpose in life, I think. But we came here and things changed. My mom and dad couldn't afford to send me to, well, they couldn't even afford to keep me in school until grade 12, you know. So Dad said, well, you did go to school in Denmark, so you probably know enough by now that you could get a job. So I did. I went and got a job at Bill Evans and Richard Hall's store.
Grocery store?
Grocery store. And you know what? That was actually good for me because in those days we had these little pads and we had to write everything down. sugar, butter, flour, or whatever. You write it down, you put the price, and then you have to add it up. And I like that because I always enjoyed math too. Math and social was my, not so much the history part of it, but the where this city is and where that river is and whatever.
Geography.
I really like that. So I was pretty happy working for Holtz, and I got paid. I don't know how much, but it helped a little bit at home, so we were able to make things go around. And in the meantime, I guess we moved from this place down here. My mom and dad bought a place closer to town. What is it? How far is it from town? About a mile and a half?
Oh, were you
Yeah.
At max.
Yeah, it wasn't too far. So,
And that's where your sister lives today. Your brother
lives there. No, my brother lives there today.
Your brother lives there today.
He and his wife live there, and they're so happy. And I know my dad would be happy to know that they are there. He never wanted that place sold. My dad didn't. Yeah. Anyhow, I started working at Hall's. That must have been the, 1950?
Did you walk to work?
Yeah, there? I walked to work. Mm-hmm. It was so bloody cold. Those were the days when we had 50, 60 below Fahrenheit. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. It was so cold. I walked to work until one day I was walking in the cold morning. All my eyes were sticking out only, I think. And this, I heard this truck, a vehicle coming down the road. And it stopped. I could hear it stopping. And in those days, there was nothing to be scared of. You know, I mean, we weren't scared of anything but a wolf or something, I imagine. But here was Mr. Tom Hendy. He lived in South Athabasca at the time, and he was going to work in town. And he says, "Hello, I'm Tom Hendy. I know who you are." Oh, I don't know what I said. I was kind of shy. And he said, "You know what? I will stop for you every morning if you don't mind my old truck. The wind is, there was a hole in the floor. The heater wasn't very good." But he said, "It doesn't take as long to drive in this truck as it does to walk." I was so thankful. Oh, my goodness. You know.
It would be warmer, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know.
The wind's not blowing on you.
Yeah. I had clothes on. But, oh, my goodness. I was just so pleased. Oh, yeah. And he was such a nice man. I can't remember where he was working. Some years later, he started working as a custodian at the high school.
So he was, like, in his 40s when he...
No idea, but, no.
Would he have been younger than that?
No, he probably not.
Picking you up? Mm-hmm.
Probably not. I think he was in his...
That's good, though. 40. That's a generosity that...
Oh, my goodness. That's what people did, eh? You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Then after that, well, we bought that place in there, and that was just wonderful. And that was Hans Amfeld got it because it was some kind of Hopkins owned that. Some old uncle and aunt of Helen's, I think it was, or some relation to Helen. And they wanted to sell it because they were getting older and they wanted to move someplace. And it was great for us because there was a place there to grow a garden.
There was a fair amount cleared on this.
There was like next to the road where they planted all the spruce trees. My dad had strawberries. Oh, he used to work for those strawberries. But, you know, he worked out for different people for a while. But you know what? He was 60 years old when we came. He was 22 years older than my mother. And he was... It just had to be too hard for him because people didn't want to hire a 60-year-old guy. He was in good shape. Like, my brother is 70 now, and he's strong as an ox yet, that guy. And my dad was, very much like that. But he worked for a guy that he sort of built or repaired houses. I think he kind of, well, it doesn't matter either. But Dad got a few jobs, and in the summertime he was able to help farmers, say, because there's stuff to do, but in wintertime it wasn't. So he found a few odd jobs. And
like a carpenter.
Yeah. And then I worked for, remember where the old Super A was? It's where the Husky garage is now. And that's where the old Super A was, and that's where I went to work for them. Yeah, it was great.
And did your mom, then when she got a job, work at the same place?
No, she went and she got a job. I think she worked for Mary Filchick for a while. And then she got a job with Mrs. Hall, Richard Hall, and Halls, and there was another family that she worked with. She would do light housekeeping and wash clothes and iron. And then after a bit, I can't remember how long it was, but then Richard Hall built a concession corner into the theater that he owned. And he asked Mom if she would want that job, and she was quite happy with that. Yeah, but she had another job in daytime because that was while the movie was on, eh? Yeah. So, yeah, okay, so I finished school, and I'm working for Mr. Hall and Mr. Evans. And I met Fred. I fell in love with Fred, and then we got married in 52. My mom and dad couldn't afford to send me to the city. So I figured out that I have to stay around here. And then, yeah, well, you know, you start thinking different when you fall in love with somebody, eh?
You try to bring your two points of view together.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, so the time went, and my dad was happy when we bought that place up there because he owned something.
Oh,
and you know, it was hard for him. I know it was especially hard for him because in Denmark, he was the boss. He was the one deciding, you work over there, you work over there, you work here, and
He had the money.
He had the money.
To pay out.
Yeah, he could pay these guys for working on a farm with us. I don't know how many acres we had, but it was nowhere the amount of acres that they have here. But we had a working farm. That's where I learned how to milk cows by hand, feed pigs. Yeah. Oh, my gosh, I haven't thought about this for years and years and years.
But those skills then you learned in Denmark did you well as a young married
woman. Oh, yeah, yeah.
In the rural area.
We got married. And we moved in with Fred's mom and dad. Fred wanted to build a little house. In those days, you don't build a great big house when you get married. You just build a little thing. But we didn't even do that. Fred bought the nails. He had three kegs of nails. Do you remember those wooden crates?
Mm-hmm.
And then his mom and dad said, no, don't build a house. We're going to move to town next spring. But that didn't happen. I know Fred's mom was not feeling all that good. She actually died when she was 62 years old. From kidney failure. She told me one time that she had been feeding pigs, probably. She was carrying 2 5-gallon pails of chop. And she stepped on a frozen piece of manure in the barnyard. And she fell down, and she hurt her back really badly. And she said it used to hurt so bad, but the doctors couldn't figure out what it was. But then in years to come, they figured it out, and it was because when she passed away, she died from kidney failure. And they found out then, because I think they were going to operate, they found out then that her one kidney was completely gone. And the other one was failing. And in those days, there's no transplant or anything, you know. So I really felt sad for her because I was too young, 62, even in those days, eh? Yeah.
And how old was she when you and Fred got married?
Well, she died in 19, so see, we were married in 52, and in 58, she was 62, so she must have been 56.
Did the four of you live in your in-law's house for those 6 years?
Yeah.
And then did your father-in-law continue living with you?
Yeah. Yeah.
You must have had children by that time.
Yeah. We did.
How many kids would you have had by the time?
Before
you were alone in a house? Or did you have them all before you were alone in your own house?
Let me see. Jeff was born in 65.
Oh, so he wasn't born yet.
65. Brenda was born in 62, Diana in 59, Allison 56, and Ken in 53.
So just Allison and Ken then?
Yeah.
And then after that you got your own place?
No.
No.
Fred's dad moved out.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. We kept on living in that house for years.
Your in-law then go to town and live in town?
He did. He went to town for a while, and then he actually moved to Calgary for a while. Well, he knew people, so I don't know. I never did really know what he did. Some people are not, they don't communicate too well, And I think it had a lot to do with the fact that I wasn't Ukrainian. But I don't know. I made out okay because I could milk cows and I could clean the barn. Mm-hmm.
Well, and probably Fred's mother then would teach you Ukrainian cooking.
I helped her. Yeah, and I did learn. Yeah, it was. I just felt sad, because, the house was. But nobody in those days really had a fancy house anyhow. It was just, everything was very plain. And other young people lived with their in-laws too for a while, before they got home. So, yeah.
And when you went out to work, I know that you worked for some time in the hospital.
Oh, that was after we were married. I didn't start working in the hospital until 71. Yeah.
So we had children were born by that time.
Yeah. Yeah. For a while. We actually went to work at the auction mart because Lena Dulaska needed somebody to help her. I wrote checks out for her, and then she would sign them. Mm-hmm. I would figure out, okay, so this guy sold a cow for so much, or 10 cows for so much, a pound. I would figure it out and then write it down, and she would sign the checks. That was good because I liked math again there. I was able to do it. Yeah, and Fred helped with, there was a pig barn down below, he was able to help there. So yeah, we worked, but that was only once a week, eh? But there again, we brought a little extra money in, and you didn't have to pay $150 for a pair of running shoes, you could get it for $5 and less. And the kids never said anything, they didn't say, I want that kind of running shoe or those jeans.
There wasn't the advertising.
No. Well, they...
To cause the desire.
No. The kids... I really tried. I sewed a lot for the girls, and I liked them to look nice when they went to school.
Did you sew dresses or pants?
Dresses.
Always dresses?
Yeah.
For school?
Yeah, for school. Mm-hmm. But they had to take them off when they came home and put some everyday clothes on. But yeah, one day went after the other. We had enough food to feed the kids. There was one winter. Well, Fred always used to get a moose in those days. And one winter he got a big cow. It must have been a real old cow because we decided we had to have it all ground. Ground meat, and that was even tough, But I don't know how many different ways of hamburger or moose I cooked. I've asked the kids if they could remember. And Allison said, well, Not particularly, because I don't ever remember being hungry. You know, I mean, so she said, we all always had enough to eat. And even that winter, and I think they ground it up more than once, say they put it through the grinder more than once. But hey, you know what? There's lots of ways you can cook a hamburger. And we had picked, we used to go picking blueberries and cranberries way out west, you know, south of your mom and dad's in those hills. Mm-hmm. Not your...
My in-laws.
Yeah, your in-laws. In those hills there.
Oh, there. Past Baptist Lake.
Yeah. West and south.
West and south of Baptist.
And there was Jane, and there was Lucy, and Josephine, and all our kids. We were going a weekend out there. Bring your lunch and pails. Pick blueberries and cranberries. So we had blueberry jam and cranberry jam. And then we had a garden. And I would make pickles, relish. I made a relish that the kids always just about gobbled up. But it was good. So, you know, you have meat and you've got lots of vegetables, potatoes and turnips and whatever else you plant in the garden. You know, they had enough to eat.
And what would you have to buy here? Like, you'd have to buy flour?
Flour and sugar.
Salt, I suppose.
But you know what? In those days, I have something in one of my albums, how much sugar and those things were. It wasn't a heck of a lot. You could buy a pound of butter for 5 cents.
Oh, price-wise.
Price-wise. Mm-hmm. But I don't think we bought butter because we milk cows, you know? And
would you sell the butter then?
I don't think we had enough. I think here we probably milked 3 or 4 cows. They had cattle, but not milk cows, mm-hmm. eh? So I remember us making butter, yeah. That's something I'd never done in Denmark. So I learned from these people, too. You bet I did. But I should have been a Ukrainian girl.
According to your in-laws.
Yeah.
But your husband was happy with this Danish girl.
Yeah, that's why I guess he... Well, you know, why do people fall in love? I don't know. It just sort of happens, doesn't it?
It's not always logical, right?
No. Yeah, so, I mean, that changed my life. I did. But I was quite content. I was, you know, yeah, I was.
Well, between the two of you, you provided for your children.
Yeah, we had enough. And we didn't have too much overflowing, but we had just enough, yeah. And then Fred had a job. When we got married, he had a job grading the roads here. There was no gravel paths here. I can't remember when the pavement came here.
But there was a grader, like a machine.
Yeah, it was the Alice Chalmers grader, and it had the wheels to lift the blade up and down. No cab on it. I remember in those days that we had Army and Navy in Edmonton, and they had flyers, suits, sheepskin pants and jackets and a hat. And we had sent to Army and Navy. Oh, I think he might have gone in to buy it. But they were good. Nice and warm. Really warm. You know, you had the fuzzy part inside and the smooth part on the outside. So he was warm when he was on. Well, you have to be. It was winter and not like now, yeah.
It would block the wind.
Yeah, it would block the wind, yeah. And then he, in the wintertime, he kind of built a little caboose around there. The steering and those wheels.
Mm, to keep his face too out of the...
Well, I think it did stop. It did stop a little bit, but yeah. So, yeah, 1 year goes by after the other and the kids grow up and... Yeah. And see, Jeff is... between Ken and Jeff, there's 11 years. Because Ken was in grade 12 and Jeff started grade 1. Yeah. So I don't know how we... were able to space them like we did.
Probably wasn't intentional, just the way things happened.
That's the way it happened. Yeah, that's the way it happened. Oh my goodness, yeah. But we sure did have fun on the weekends here because we went, and then sometimes there were dances in the halls, and we would go down to Baptist Lake when Doug what's his name? Sharon Kump's dad.
It's not coming to me right now.
No, it isn't out of here. Wasn't his name, or was his name, no, it was Doug, or was
Cecil
it?
Harold. Mrs. Harold.
Doug Harold.
Doug, yeah.
Yeah. So there was dancers down there, and we would go there. Across the road where Nelch had the cabins there, there was another little hall. So yeah, you know, we went out, and it was fun. I loved to dance. So did a lot of other young people too, right?
Right, and there'd be a band of some
yes,
sort.
There was a band. And you know, they would play until, as long as people were dancing, they would play. Sometimes
morning.
Until 2, 3 o'clock in the morning.
And would there be groups that would be considered a band, or would people that just knew how to play come?
I think just some of the guys that loved to play, or, you know, yeah. George Felchick was one that played the saxophone. Mind you, that was later, you know. Well, when we were first married, we used to go out too. But then it becomes harder when you have kids, eh? I remember one time we wanted to go to a dance someplace, and we got Elsie Vichuk, that's the Michael's oldest sister, we got her to babysit Kenny. And of course, when you want to go someplace, that kid's not going to sleep, eh? I had fed him, he was fine, and Elsie came, and my mom and dad had bought me a baby carriage, really nice one. And we said, well, if he doesn't want to go to sleep, walk him in the carriage, eh? Well,
just in the house.
No, outside.
Oh, outside.
It was it must have been summertime, eh? Yeah. And I used to put him out in the sunshine. I mean, not full sun to sleep in daytime, but yeah. So yeah, he wouldn't. We came home from the dance. He still wasn't sleeping. I think he knew that his mom and dad weren't home.
Was he crying or happy?
Well, he was crying off and on. Yeah, he just wouldn't sleep. Eyes wide open. Yeah, those were the days.
And then did she come back to babysit?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
She didn't bother her then.
No. They were happy. I don't think we paid them very much, but see, we did pay her. But I don't know how much it was. It was next to nothing.
But it was a little bit of money then.
Yeah,
that
was hers, eh? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was a very nice girl. She grew up and got married and had a couple of kids and trained as a nurse after she'd had the kids. After the kids grew up, she trained as a nurse. She was working at the U of A and she was ER cardiac, yeah, something like that. Yeah, she really.
Just for the sake of the record, just tell when your children were born, like what year, month and day.
Okay.
So that they've kind of, everybody's got a feeling for mm-hmm. the people that you've mentioned in this.
Okay. Fred and I got married June 26, 1952. Ken, our oldest, was born August 30th, 1953. Our second one, Allison, was born January 13th, on a Friday, 1956. Diana was born August 4th, 1959. Brenda was born May 22nd, 1962. And Jeff was born January 22nd, 1965. And yeah, they're all grown up now, and we have 10 grandchildren. And some of them got partners already.
No great grandchildren?
Yes,
yet?
We have 2 great grandchildren. That's Ken's grandchildren, a little boy and a little girl. Yeah, Kevin married a very delightful little Japanese girl. And they have these 2 children.
And they live in Alberta.
They live in Alberta.
So we'll end with that. Thank you very much, Jan. It was good.
Well, thank you. I think I probably stumbled around there a few times.
Very nice.